Yes, it's time for Evensong once again, and welcome to a programme which the latest surveys show is nearly as popular as poll tax. It could only be Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. No, don't jump. Don't jump. Don't do it. Talking you down on 90 FM, it's Terry Anderson on Clockwork Wireless. Well, probably the biggest news story this week has been the start of Operation Martyrdom, but that's enough about Dr. Owen. Well, yes, this week Dr. Owen resigned as leader of the SDP and the world kept turning. It's remarkable, really. But meanwhile, the real Operation Martyrdom is happening in the Middle East. Thousands of Iranians are prepared to launch themselves in speedboats and loaded with dynamite. These speedboats and these suicide squads then want to ram American vessels in the Gulf. Apparently they haven't had much success so far because they haven't got a very good sense of direction. Perhaps they should go on a crash course. Boom, boom, no misses and all that stuff. Well, also this week I see that someone has left £47,000 in their will to the British Origami Society, which is good news because they were in danger of folding. Dear, oh dear. Well, in a thrill-a-minute programme tonight, we have music from Talking Heads, XTC, and from the independent sector, All About Eve. They're one of my favourite independent bands. In our 1967 feature, we look back at radio and TV from 20 years ago today. We have one of our famous competitions in which you can win an album of your choice. And we'll be featuring a few of your letters. And we'll also be revealing the best stories this week from our favourite newspaper, the Weekly World News. And in the Classic Radio Clangers series this week, How Not to Present an Outside Broadcast. Also later, as if that wasn't enough, later on we have The Bizarre World of the Intrepid Birdman. That's all coming up on Clockwork Wireless 90 FM.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip.
Estimable Suzanne Vega, who turns up on this station from time to time. Joe Jackson on piano, left of centre from some movie soundtrack or other. Well, it's Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. Terry Anderson here, and the Intrepid Birdman. We can't keep him away. He'll be here a little bit later on. Well, of course, the government is constantly taking out injunctions these days against newspapers about the Spycatcher book. You know, I wish they'd take out an injunction to stop newspapers publishing any more pictures of Anne Diamond's baby. Now, that would be a positive move. But speaking of newspapers, Rupert Murdoch this week withdrew his paper's sponsorship of the Football League. Apparently someone told him that every team in the league had a left winger, and that's what put him off. But one of the funniest stories this week is Madonna's in the news this week, for a change, and she's reported to be very angry because Penthouse magazine are planning to publish in next month's issue nude photographs of Madonna taken 8 years ago. And I thought her attitude to this was quite revealing, but then so are the photographs. The Weekly World News will be featuring that this week. We turn this up about once a month on the programme. I think any more would be a bit too much for us. But we'll be featuring the stories a bit later on, but the headlines on the front page this week... evil demons haunt couple's new home. A story we'll be featuring later on. Bearded lady sues hubby for making her hair fall out. That's this week's big featured story. Other stories about vampires killed in Virginia. And this week they have a world famous psychic who I've never heard of. And she's peering 10 years into the future, and we'll be telling you some of their ridiculous predictions a little bit later on. But what I thought I would quickly do is look at some of the headlines from the issues that we've missed over the last few weeks. It's been about a month since we last had the Weekly World News on the programme. It's a paper from America, if you're a new listener, that we feature from time to time. A couple of weeks ago, the front page headline, Pet's Revenge, Little Girl Possessed by Dead Poodle's Spirit. That was a good one. And probably my favourite of the lot, Astonishing New Medical Survey Proves Your Shoe Size Tells You How Long You'll Live. Calculate your lifespan with easy-to-read chart, it says here. Love After Death Dead Hubby's Tattoo appears on Widow. Another good story there. An alien crew alive after UFO crash. And another story we've missed in the last few weeks. Idiot dog swallows TV remote control and eats $4,000 in furniture. And finally, they published an exclusive photo. I was sorry to miss this one. An exclusive photo of one in a billion infant. We'll keep our two-headed baby, say proud parents after miracle birth. Which is a bit of a come down, actually, because they had a three-headed baby in there a few weeks ago. That's a come down here. But one of the quotes of the week, and so I'll just say we'll be featuring some of those stories a bit later on, but one of the quotes of the week came from Luciano Pavarotti, the 20-stone opera singer, who said, speaking about his preference for Concorde, I cannot get in and out of aircraft toilets, but on 3.5 flights I can hold out, which paints quite a prepossessing picture, really, but leads us on quite naturally to Chinese food. And my advice regarding most of the food that you get from Chinese takeaways is to tip it straight down the toilet. You know, cut out the middleman, really. Why waste time? But don't suggest such thoughts within hearing range of Miss Yuen Fai Tong, who was in court this week, and according to the newspaper report, which said, a customer's horseplay upset a woman counter assistant in a Chinese takeaway this week. Birmingham Crown Court heard how Yuen Fai Tong, 22, hit the offending customer with a pickaxe handle, which was normally used for stirring the rice and curry. I think if you go to that particular restaurant, I shouldn't think you'd need chopsticks. Just take a pneumatic drill and a hacksaw, you'll be all right. It reminds me about the waiter in a Chinese restaurant who went on strike for the right to wok, but that needn't detain us here, as we say. Quirky little programme on BBC Two during the week about talking heads and the way they make the videos to accompany their records. One of the most inventive videos was the visual interpretation of this track, Talking Heads and Once in a Lifetime.
Remove the water.
same as it ever was. It's Talking Heads and Once in a Lifetime from the Remaining Light album. Well, it's funny, really, in this age of video, how videos are now implanted in our minds in tandem with the songs. And I think this is a shame, in a sense, because it erases our own personal memories of songs and when you hear them. When you hear the song, you visualise the video instead of thinking or remembering the people or places of your own past. So it's quite a shame. But now for the first of tonight's classic clangers from the world of radio. Sometimes the task of a radio journalist can be quite hazardous, as this fellow found out when the Queen came to town.
Her Majesty the Queen should be very close to arriving at the Queen Elizabeth School in Corby. And amongst the crowds to greet her, Paul Needle.
I beg your pardon. Yes, I'm here, Stuart, standing outside the school. The wait, the long, long wait, has really proved worthwhile for all these youngsters. Many of them have been here for up to 4 hours.
This is a royal motor party. Would you please move?
Yes, indeed. Well, there is somebody here who is trying to move us out of the way, and I'm in... We're waiting for her Majesty.
I'm the police. I'll arrest you if you don't go away.
Back now to Eddie Hemmings on the top of the bus, please.
Well, that was the BBC's on-the-spot reporter in a spot of bother there in Corby with the ultimate in Jobsworths. Well, it's good to see the Lou Grant series back on TV, but it was a real red-hot week for fans of Neighbours this week. Neighbours, everybody needs good neighbours. Yes, OK, Terry, we've done that one. Not because of any action in the programme, because nothing actually happened this week, which is quite unusual, because a normal week in Neighbours sees several marriages, a few divorces, and the threat of a thermonuclear war. But the highlight actually happened on Monday when the director decided to show a close-up of someone pouring from a pot of tea, but you could quite clearly see that they'd forgotten the tea bag and were using tap water. So they immediately cut to a long shot with such speed that the microphone boom was still in view and indeed nearly decapitated one of the actors, but it was okay. It was only Max Ramsey, so it wouldn't have made any difference. No, the real action for Neighbours fans happened on the Wogan show. This is not usually priority viewing at my house, in my opinion. Terry Wogan could never be accused of being handicapped by an abundance of talent as an interviewer. But on Wednesday, he had the bloke that plays Shane Ramsey in Neighbours as his guest. Unfortunately, instead of probing him to discover the full psychological depths of his character, Mr. Wogan decided to discuss kangaroos and the fact that sometimes it rains in Melbourne. So for real drama this week, we had to turn to the Crossroads Hotel. It's not called a motel anymore for some reasons which are obscure to the best of us. It's now called the Crossroads Hotel, where the local graveyard must be reaching straining point as another character bit the dust this week, Mary Lancaster, joining the late Mavis Hooper and the much-revered Miss Diane in the King's Oak Cemetery. No sooner does a guest wander into the lobby of the Crossroads Hotel these days than the local undertaker is already making a mental measurement and preparing the coffin. And as the programme itself prepares to approach the pearly gates next spring, we can only wonder whether there'll be any characters left to follow the hearse. Well, in a few minutes, we'll be hearing the latest in our series reflecting the music and style of 1967. But first, from the top of the independent charts, a record that has more than a passing nod of influence from that era. It's a group called All About Eve. One of my favourite singles at the moment. This is called Flowers in Our Hair.
Loud and your hair is long. Now do
it is Clockwork Wireless on 90FM, and we have a little address which you can write to. You may like to make a note of it. We have competition a little bit later on, and you might also want to write in and complain, so it's well worth making a note of the address. It's Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House. This is an address that's embedded in my mind. I never forget it. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. I'll tell you a bit later on with a little bit more clarity, and that you'll need it for the competition and, as I say, for complaints. Well, as we wind our way down towards the end of our 1967 retrospective, I thought we might look back to see what was on the TV and radio this very evening, 20 years ago. I thought this would be terribly exciting, but in fact, the programmes themselves were desperately dull and little changes over the years. On ITV, or ATV, as it was called in 1967, at 7 o'clock you could have heard A Steel Town Sings with the Concert Citizens Choir, which looks like a good reason for going out 20 years ago, and there was a production of Mrs. Miniver film. Also the Blackpool Show on ATV with Dickie Henderson, Frankie Vaughan, Les Dawson and the adorable elephant Tanya. I don't know whatever became of that particular act. Also, Dave Allen was on ITV 20 years ago tonight. On BBC, BBC One or BBC Two, I'd forgotten all about these people, but at 5:50 on BBC One, there was Pinky and Perky. Absolutely awful. Put me off sausages for ages when I was young. 6:50, Songs of Praise. And there was a good classic on BBC One 20 years ago tonight, Steptoe and Son with Wilfred Bramble, Harry H. Corbett and Uther Joyce was in that. On BBC Two there was The World of Woodhouse and Late Night Lineup. I wonder if you remember that, if you're as old as I am. And there was Michael Dean, Joan Bakewell, Tony Bilbo and Sheridan Morley. But for the absolute nadir of the arts this particular night, one turned to the radio and there was just nothing on at all really on the BBC. There was two-way family favourites early in the day, The Navy Lark, which was a comedy series at the time. But interestingly, it was The Likely Lads. I'd forgotten that they started that on the radio. That was on Sunday afternoon. And the highlight for pop fans was Alan Freeman with Pick of the Pops at 4 o'clock on the Light programme, followed by Dick Emery and Emery at Large. And later on, there was Sing Something Simple, which I hated when I was young. You had to be simple to listen to it, I think. But what I thought might be interesting to do would be to leap on a couple of months, and because it was in 1967 that Radio 1 started, and the networks were split up into Radio 1, 2, 3 and 4. And one tends to look at these days in rose-tinted glasses, to coin a cliche. So I thought we'd look at the first week of Radio 1 and the first Sunday, which was September the 28th, 1967. And it was really pitifully poor what was on Radio 1 that particular. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. It was Leslie Crowther with Junior Choice. Ed Stewart introduces Happening Sunday, which is a sort of gear 1967 man expression. Again, family favourites on Radio 1 with Michael Aspel. But this is quite interesting. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Pete Drummond and John Peel introduce Top Gear, and the guests on the programme were Pink Floyd, The Move and Traffic. And Alan Freeman was still doing Pick of the Pops. But again, the real highlight on Radio 1, 20 years ago, in 1967 in September, 10 o'clock, The David Jacobs Show. For the best in good music, good talk with people of choice, including this week, Julie Andrews. Tremendous stuff. So that was what was on Radio 1 20 years ago. The alternative to all this was the pirate radio ships, well, just about. A few weeks ago, we heard a brief snatch of Radio London. Well, here's a little piece of Radio Caroline from 1967.
You're tuned to Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station.
This is Simon D talking to you on behalf of all of us on Radio Caroline, here 4.5 miles away from Felixstowe. Now, what can I tell you about the station? Well, our technical equipment, I suppose. Firstly, the transmitters are made by Continental Electronics in the States and are 10 kilowatts each, two of them, costing about £50,000 each. And they will shortly be looped together, I expect, to give us a stronger signal when all the boffins are finished working on them. The studio itself consists of various equipment, tape recorders.
This is Caroline.
Laid back, but slouched.
Very nice, I must say. Very nice. Clock Clock Wireless on 90 FM. Before that, we heard Scott McKenzie with San Francisco and then some of Radio Caroline. Well, a few letters in this week, delighted to see. Steve McGrain wrote in from Arthur Road, Wimbledon, and he says, I was delighted to hear you and the Birdman last Sunday. Very entertaining programmes. Please, could you give a mention next Sunday to me and my girlfriend, Jane? And Steve tells us that he's quite a Bon Jovi fan, but we played a couple of tracks from Bon Jovi the last few weeks. Liam O'Kane has written in. He comes from Northumberland Avenue in Isleworth, and he says, after listening to the Top 40 last Sunday, I was twiddling with the dial on my radio and found Clockwork Wireless. I really enjoyed the music and alternative style of the programmes. And Liam wants to know, how long has Clockwork Wireless been going and how much have I missed? And the answer to that is, not a lot, in fact. The Weekly World News... Thanks, Liam, by the way. The Weekly World News is an American newspaper that we feature from time to time, and they have some stories and a half here. In common with most foreign newspapers, they're obsessed with our royal family, but I think this story is stretching their credibility or credulity a little. It's headlined Royal Redneck, and it says, Queen Elizabeth is so down home that she rolls her own cigarettes, drives around in a beat-up car, and likes nothing more than kicking off her shoes, lighting up a smoke, and watching her hero, Giant Haystacks, wrestling on TV. I mean, can you picture this? It's so ridiculous. She is the unsnootiest monarch in history, said a palace insider, which means that the reporter made up the quote himself. She has no taste for the highbrow or the egghead. The only time Her Majesty goes to the theatre is to see the Royal Variety Show. She's always amused by jugglers and comedians with funny noses, so I should be all right there, I think. But the Queen really gets her kicks from watching the 6-foot-11-inch Giant Haystacks throw his opponents round the ring while she puffs on a fag, reports the paper. When Haystack stampedes across the mat and bounces off the rope, she guffaws and howls to her heart's content. I mean, can you really picture this at Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle? Queen rolling around a settee with a fag hanging out of her mouth, laughing at the wrestling on TV. I can't see it somehow. The pressures of running the firm disappear, family burdens dissolve, and she can relax for a few precious moments, said this insider. And then the Weekly World News adds their own little editorial here. What with Charlie and Di not seeing eye to eye, Andy and Fergie raising hell, and her hubby Phil embarrassing her every time he opens his yap, Wimpy Edward dropping out of the Royal Marines, this woman needs a little fun. Perhaps I should send her a copy of this paper. They're also obsessed with celebrities, like our own tabloids here, and they've come up with this story, the Society of Face Readers. I thought there was room for such a society, but there is apparently. The Society of Face Readers says that dimples indicate passionate personalities. Folks who purse their lips hate their jobs, and big ears signify nobility. I think we're back to the royal family. Here's what the society has to say about some famous people and their mugs. Ronald Reagan's left eye shows suspicion, and his face reveals obstinacy, conceit and craftiness. That took a lot to work that one out. And finally, Princess Diana's small ears predict problems in middle years. The middle years began for Diana last week when her marriage appeared to be going belly up, it says here. Disgraceful stuff, but we'll have more from the Weekly World News in a little while. In the meantime, here's XTC and 10 Feet Tall. American single from XTC, 10 Feet Tall. I feel like I'm walking around 10 feet tall. I feel like I'm walking around 10 feet tall. I feel like I'm walking around 10 feet tall. I feel I don't know how we managed, really. There was an interesting programme on ITV during the week that had the world's greatest actress, that's Catherine Deneuve. She was analysing film of Marilyn Monroe. Unfortunately, Miss Deneuve's voice was erased and a badly dubbed sort of franglais-style vocal was added. And apart from being a great actress and being stunningly attractive, Catherine Deneuve has a very sensual voice, so this was a bit of a blow to me, I can tell you. I think they should have retained her original French and used subtitles. However, it's interesting to think that if she had lived, Marilyn Monroe would have been 61 years old this week. The same age as Mrs. Thatcher, in fact. It's an interesting story in itself. But who knows, if she'd lived, maybe Marilyn Monroe might have become President of America. No, that's too far-fetched. An actor could never become President of the United States, obviously. Now, would you like to win an album of your choice? Of course you jolly well would. There's no doubt about it. Well, here's an easy-peasy competition where you have that very same chance. There's a little question here to answer, and I'll give you an address in a moment. The question to answer is, and here it is, who is Keith Chegwin's sister, and why was she in the news this week? This was featured in several newspapers. Who is Keith Chegwin's sister, and why was she in the news this week? Actually, if you think you're badly off, imagine having Keith Chegwin as a brother. But still, that's another story. The address is Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. There, remember the address. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. If you know the answer to that question, who is Keith Chegwin's sister and why was she in the news this week? She was in several of the newspapers. And send in your answer to that address, and you could win the album of your choice when you write in. Say which album you'd like if you win. It's as simple as that. We'll draw one of them from the tub, from the bin or the hat next week, and maybe you'll win. But now to the second of our classic radio clangers. One of the most important things to remember for a radio journalist is to keep a cool head at all times, no matter how hot the story.
Well, the firemen have just brought under control a huge blaze out here in Camperdown. Flames were leaping out of the factory, and it looks as though firemen are losing... flames leaping out of the building, When I arrived at the scene, flames were leaping out of the factory, and it looked as though firemen were fighting a losing battle. The fire in the Firestone tire... At the Firestone tire factory, a short time ago, the sidewall collapsed, exposing hundreds of, thousands really of tires burning in this great blaze out here in Camperdown. Firemen are still trying to put it out, but they're getting things under control now. From the scene here in Camperdown at the Firestone tire factory, Warwick Rankin for 2SM.
Oh dear, poor chap. I think he was getting a little hot under the collar there. Well, one of my favourite records is re-released this week. And by one of those strange coincidences that happen in life, well, here it is.
Well, I know it sounds funny, but I'm not in it for the money, no. I don't need no reputation, and I'm not in it for the show. I just want
The Raspberries, an overnight sensation. It's Clockwork Wireless on 90FM, and that address yet one more time. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. I don't even have to read it as I say it. Not many, Benny. A couple of people who wrote into that address. Janet Lindley is from Lonsdale Road in Barnes, and she says many complimentary remarks about programmes on Clockwork Wireless Extravaganza, and she says her favourite bands are U2 and Big Audio Dynamite, and we've got a track from Big Audio Dynamite coming up in a minute, so we'll play that for Janet. And also Pete Scott of Churchfield Road, Acton, who says, please would you dedicate a record to Sarah, who's going on holiday on August the 11th, and he says he won't be seeing her for 2 weeks. Now, just before that Big Audio Dynamite track, let's return to the sizzling pages. Sizzle, sizzle, of the Weekly World News, the American tabloid that makes the Sun seem almost intellectual in comparison. Top-ranked story in the paper this week. Ruined circus star wants millions of dollars. Bearded lady sues hubby for making her hair fall out. The bearded lady in a circus is suing her husband for $1 million because his heavy drinking worried her so much her hair fell out. And legal papers filed on behalf of Yana Garley allege that Louis the Living Skeleton Garley's drinking sprees caused a change in her hormones that resulted in her luxurious black beard falling out. And it says, I'll never find work again. And she says, my beard was my claim to fame, my sole source of support. And what's terrifying is her husband chips in here with a quote and says, I didn't know how ugly Yana was until she lost her beard. Very strange way of looking at life. And believe you me, nobody wants it back more than I do, he said. I can't bear to look at her. Besides, we need her salary to live on. I say, keep your hair on, mate. yeah, he's not very liberated, is he, really? They've got these predictions for 1997 that this junk psychic has come up with. Most of them are so ridiculous that they don't even deserve airing, but this woman, what's her name? Countess Sophia Sabeck, the world-renowned psychic that no one's ever heard of. She peered into the future to give the Weekly World News an exclusive glimpse at things to come over the next 10 years. And one of them is, a lady dwarf will shoot and kill a female tennis star in 1996, claiming the Wimbledon champ loved her and left her. I mean, come on, that's so obviously going to happen, isn't it? I mean, don't need to predict that. America's first lady president will be thrown out of office after tearfully admitting that her womanhood is a result of a sex change. I should think Gary Hart's well out of that. And finally, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, this rather contradicts the last item, but that doesn't seem to have worried this woman. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, or Lieutenant as they call him in America, will be totally exonerated of all Iran-Contra charges. Gosh, really? Resign from the Marine Corps, run for president in 1992, and be elected in a landslide victory. And so he'll be president, but it doesn't say whether, as a part of that, he actually is forced to undergo a sex change. So I don't know about the answer to that. That's the Weekly World News, as seen this week.
Dressed up in red, riding hood, bad habits,
Those big audio dynamite fellows and E equals MC squared, an equation I've never fully understood, I must say. Been asked to play that for Anne, who's going to New Zealand very shortly. That's from the girls at Perivale. And we wish her good luck on her journey to the other side of the world. Big audio dynamite. Well, wouldn't you know it, coming up a little bit later on, we have the strange, crazy world of the Intrepid Birdman. Unfortunately, he must be feeling quite low this week, because for once he's not featured in the Sunday newspapers today, as far as I can tell.
Yes, yes. Well, I thought I might treat you to my holiday pictures. Here they are, look.
Oh, great. This is lovely. This works well.
Just hold these up to the microphone. There you go. Look, that's me in Paris.
Yeah.
That's me in I'm not boring you, am I?
Oh, no, no, it's fascinating. This works a treat on radio. Yeah, it's marvellous.
as indeed does my subject of the evening, which you may be intrigued to know, is sheep stuffing. Well, not just sheep, but taxidermy as a general subject. There's an awful lot of things that people don't know about taxidermy. It's actually considerably easier than most people might have thought.
Yeah, so I was going to say, probably a lot of things people don't want to know about stuffing sheep, but that's all for us to find out in the next hour. Anything else you want to tell us? You've got Sunday moans and
groans? No, I think
groans.
I've probably reduced you enough. There is, in fact, a brand new news feature about to appear in between our programmes this evening. You may be pleased to know.
Okay, well, we'll have that to look forward to as well. An exciting hour and a bit still to come. And Intrepid Birdman will be coming up in a short while. Just to repeat that competition, if you know the answer to the question, who is Keith Chegwin's sister and why is she in the news this week? If you know the answer to those two little teeny easy-peasy questions, then you could write them on a piece of paper, send it in to competition, Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tyrebridge Road, London, SC14SL. You could win an album of your choice. And if you mark down what your favourite album is, or the one you'd like, it's more to the point, we'll see what we can do. We'll pull one out next week and also give good mentions to other people who enter as well. So it's very well worthwhile writing in this week. Also, if you'd like to just write in and we'll say hello to you and anybody you'd like to mention as well. Well, there was a small piece that appeared in The Guardian this week that absolutely intrigued me. It was just one of those one-sentence filler stories that they bung in when there's a space to fill. And I'll read it to you as it appeared. A galvanised steel bridge spanning the River Penros in North Wales has been stolen, down to the last bolt. And I mean, this one sentence raises more questions than anything else I've read this week, the most obvious of which is how, and perhaps even more importantly, why? I mean, what could you do with it once you've nicked it? I mean, you couldn't really hide it under your jacket, could you? You know. Well, all I can say is that if you should be strolling through Berwick Street Market and some bloke strolls up to you, sidles up to you and says, "Psst, here, want to buy a bridge?" Well, then you know where your duty lies. You must get in touch with your local constabulary immediately. I'll look out for that on Crime Watch or Police 5 in the coming weeks. Someone will be making off with Nelson's column next, I think. Now, our final subject, which adverts do you hate the most? Which adverts really turn you off? I think we'll talk about this in greater detail next week when we've got more time. But my least favourite adverts are those promoting lager. They all seem to make the assumption that to drink lager you have to be a loud-mouthed yob who only springs to life when surrounded by similarly feeble-brained numbskulls. And the prime example at the moment is the Budweiser series of ads, which show a pea-brained character suddenly bursting into song to try and impress... Oh, I've been shot in the back. To suddenly try to impress a young woman who crosses his path. I don't know. I don't know how we cope. Now, this chap, he suddenly bursts into song. He's trying to impress this young woman who crosses his path, as I say. And in one of these commercials, this chap attempts to sing a Smokey Robinson song as densely as he can. But 3 years' RADA training can't disguise that this fellow has had an education that will not allow him to break free from his rather public school-sounding accent as he sings, "People say I'm the life of the party." It's absolutely hideous and almost as embarrassing as the adverts for Renault. But we'll have more about that next time. You can be sure of that. Well, stand by, coming up in a moment, the Clockwork Wireless News, and then the Intrepid Birdman, Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14... Creasy House, Towerbridge Road, London, SE14SL. That's our address. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Towerbridge Road, London, SE14SL. Clockwork Wireless news coming up, followed very quickly afterwards by the Intrepid Birdman. Hope you can join me next time on Clockwork Wireless at 7 o'clock. And for me, it's goodbye. What do you reckon, any better this week?
A remarkable performance.
Well, that was a performance.
From news sources around the world, Clockwork Wireless brings you all the news you haven't heard.
McDonald's, the American hamburger giant, is finding it increasingly difficult to recruit staff to serve hamburgers, so they're developing a robot to replace humans altogether. The new machine is capable of putting the patty on top of the bun, adding sauce and lettuce, assembling and then packing the complete burger. Another triumph of technology? Well, not exactly. The McRobot takes 30 seconds to do what a human can do in just 15. Maybe they could just raise their staff's wages instead.
The Dolby Corporation, purveyors of noise reduction to the world, has reached a settlement with Thomas Dolby, the singer, over his infringement of the Dolby trademark. After long battles through the American legal system, it has been agreed that Thomas Dolby can keep his name as long as he always includes his Christian name in any reference to himself. Frankly, I don't think anybody could remember Mr. Dolby, let alone bother to sue him.
Divorced women and widows can now hire a husband. Brothers Don and Jeff Kinbay can make more than £50,000 a year running a firm called Rent a Hubby. The disappointing news is that the brothers say there's no bonking involved. The hubbies are only expected to do painting, carpentry and other chores. Not something the average hubby does anyway.
What do you do when you find money in the street? Take it to the police or put it in your pocket? A mystery East End housewife had that problem when she found £75,000 lying in the street in security sacks. The 30-year-old mum put the sacks in her car and then took them to Limehouse Police Station. Securicorps, who were transporting the money, paid her a 10% reward. Apparently, the money had fallen out of a security van and was left lying in the road. The company is to hold a full inquiry. A new kind of snack called widgets is being launched in the highly competitive crisp market. Widgets are bite-sized chocolate biscuits sold in bags costing 14p. Sales of the chocolate biscuits are expected to reach £12 million in 1988. That means 86 million bags of widgets will be eaten by the British public next year. That's enough chocolate chips to make any dentist cry.
Campaigner Mary Whitehouse has complained to the IBA following the Durex advert shown on television last week. She has objected on two grounds. She says, firstly, that it implied people were completely safe from contracting diseases, with no mention of the failure rate. Secondly, it failed to point out that celibacy offers an alternative means of protection. The advert has also revealed another pressure group called Defence Against Media Manipulation, run by Oxford teacher William Spring, who has threatened to take the manufacturers of Durex to court for showing the commercial.
Despite the recent tightening up of the laws regarding the bugging of telephone calls in the 1985 Interception of Communications Act, telephone bugging is still going on, and legally. A recent court case regarding hacking revealed the variety of means that British Telecom has at its disposal without needing a warrant. One is a call meter, which is attached to the line at the exchange and keeps a printed record of numbers dialed and duration of calls. Another is a data monitor, which records all computer data passing down the line on a tape cassette, allowing the computer data to be reconstructed by the post office at a later date. The law only refers to voice conversation, not computer use of phones. Finally, British Telecom is still authorised to listen in on conversations under the service observation procedure in order to check on the quality of the lines. Clockwork Wireless News. Don't forget where you heard it first.
Hello, good evening and welcome, dear listener, to the Intrepid Birdman Show. You quoted last week, I'd like to apologise to you all now for going off prematurely. Ordinarily, of course, this doesn't happen, but just now and again, you know, well, you have your bad days and your good days. Anyway, I promise it won't happen again this week. So what shall we play this week instead? Well, I was going to read to you from my forthcoming book, A Millionaire and How to Become One Overnight. Tragically, however, I fell asleep whilst writing the first page. Oh well, more about that later. Until now, I invite you to